This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
It's 1964 again!
Is this time travel? Have we gone back through time on the Wave Rider?
Ooh, the Wayback Machine. Here they are, the originals.
The original teen UFO investigators from 1964. Not all of them. Some are not with us. Others gave up on the UFO stuff. Others we just didn't reach in time. But those we have include Alan Greenfield, whom you've just heard.
We're as silly as we were in 1964. We weren't silly in 64. We were serious then. It's now that the silly comes in. But don't quote me on that. Oh, no, we're on the air. I believe with perfect faith in the flying saucers, and though they may tarry in landing on the White House lawn, if ever there was a time we needed them to land on the White House lawn, it's 2017.
We have, as you heard before, Tim Beckley, one of the ringleaders of those ages. Mm-hmm. Get our leader ring or something. You doing that now?
For present and accounted for.
We have another person I met in those days, Jerome Clark, who has been sitting back and wondering why he got involved in this. Jerry?
How you doing, Gene?
Good to hear you. Another old friend from that alleged photo from 1964, Rick Hilberg. And he made some comments, Alan did, about your weight at the time.
Rick lost it and kept it off, which is more than I can say. It comes and goes with me. Rick. Oh, Ricky.
Sure. Well, let me just say that I've, you know, all my clean living, healthful activities have helped me lose and keep my weight off.
For 93 years.
Hey, just because I feel like I'm 93 doesn't mean I am 93.
You don't feel like you're 93. You're fine.
Well, we've come from teenage ufologists to senior citizen ufologists.
What a road that was. I want to get into how this all came together, but I just want to make one observation about that photograph that Alan sent. The only one he sent with me in it, and he picks the one where I'm eating a pastry.
It's almost the only one that I have, Gene. I mean, you don't like the photo that I have with you interviewing that bootlegger, what was his name, Lael, which I like a lot because it's a very documentary photo. So, I don't have a bunch of them of you, but I could have used that one, but you would have complained about that, too. You're never content with me, Gene, and I've known you since 1962, almost as long as I've known the elder Timothy Beckley, whose address I still have memorized from those days. His mother's address, actually.
Yes, that's correct, yes. Some people, I'm sure, are still sending mail there.
Well, I won't mention the address because you still own it, right?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I haven't owned that in quite a while now.
Don't show up at 3 Cortlandt Street, New Brunswick, New Jersey, looking for Tim.
Okay, we've got, as our guest co-host this week, Randall Murphy, who compared to this crew, this aging crew, illustrious crew that we have here, we have J. Randall Murphy is our guest co-host this week. Chris is off doing something else on special assignment. So, Randall, you must feel like a young whippersnapper compared to the rest of us.
Hey, this is a real treat. Back in 1964, I was about 6 years old. And that's about when I started to get interested in the subject myself and started having some strange experiences myself as well. But, yeah, I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Let me ask each and every one of our crew here how they got involved in this. So let me start with Jerome Clark. I think I must have met up with you through Ray Palmer's Flying Saucers magazine in the Saucer Club news section. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's how we all became aware of each other's existence. Palmer had that section in his magazine that had a little paragraph about what some particular group or newsletter was doing, and we wrote each other and connected. And before that, at least for me as a small-town kid in Minnesota, I was pretty isolated from any kind of national saucer scene. So that connected me with you guys.
What led you to become even interested in the flying saucers thing?
Reading Ruppelt's The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects in 1957. The book just fascinated and thrilled me. I think a lot of people in our generation got started with that book. I know that if I had read George Adamski about meeting up with Venusians, even at that young and impressionable age, I'd have been turned off and thought this was all nonsense. But Ruppelt's book really was a smart book and appealed to my curiosity. And I didn't know at the time, however, that I had signed up for a life sentence.
You can say that again. Now, Ruppelt, it was interesting about him. He died real young, I think probably in his late 30s of a heart condition. But before he died, like a year before, they came out with an expanded or updated edition of the report on UFOs where he kind of spent three chapters mostly recanting the rest of the book. What was your feeling about that?
Well, of course, my heart was crushed, although I have come to understand since then that Ruppelt at least claimed to be a lot more skeptical than he appeared even in the original 1956 book. But that book was definitely open-minded, and by the time he got to the end of it, if you yourself were at all open-minded, you thought, yeah, there's something going on here, and it's pretty interesting. The three added chapters that came out several years later were just sort of Project Blue Book boilerplate and not of great interest, but they shocked and disappointed people who read the first edition.
Now, Major Kehoe made a big deal of the fact that he felt that Ruppelt was subjected to severe pressure. He quoted him as saying that. He was being given pressure by his supervisors or the people who were in command saying, you can't do that, you need to back off. What's your feeling?
Well, there's no question the Air Force was really unhappy with Ruppelt's book, and there was feedback, but I think that Ruppelt was basically a company man, and I think that he wasn't forced to do something that he was really opposed in principle to doing. He was kind of, his psychology was such that he was not a rebel, and he just fell back in line. And he also understood that being associated in a positive way with UFOs wasn't going to do his hoped-for writing career any good. In fact, when he proposed his second book, which was never published, but he did have a proposal for the history of the airline industry in the United States, he never even mentions anywhere that he had written a book about UFOs.
Now, what's sad about this is that people like him die so young. And nowadays, of course, with the advancements of medical science, very likely he might have survived.
No question, and I say that myself as a heart attack survivor, and he died of a heart attack. He would have survived if it had happened in our time, but it didn't happen in our time, and so sadly he died young.
Same thing said about someone else who died in his late 30s in the 1970s, the late Bobby Darin. This amazingly talented singer, songwriter, musician, and actor. And it wasn't just Splish Splash, the song that made him famous. Anyway, we've got more to come. Chris O'Brien's a special assignment. So we have this crew of former teen ufologists, Jerome Clark, Rick Hilberg, Tim Beckley, Alan Greenfield, and Gene Steinberg, whoever he is. And our guest co-host is the young whippersnapper, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place. And the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue as we revisit teen ufology and the people who started in the 50s and 60s and are still around. Still crazy after all these years. Rick Hilberg, what got you involved?
Well, it's a really long, crazy story, but actually when I was in elementary school back in 1958, the subject of UFOs, or as we called them back then, flying saucers, was brought up. And I think the teacher, I don't remember what kind of class it was, a civics class, a science class, I have no idea. But the teacher sent some sort of learning opportunity, so he assigned people to make a report on UFOs, the pro side and the con side. Well, I hadn't thought much about the UFOs, but I said, well, I don't believe these damn things, you know. So I signed up on the con side, and I came up with all this information, why they can't be real and why they can't be real. When the presentation was made, the people who were making the pro side seemed to have a lot of evidence. This was 58. This was right after the great big, you know, flap back in 57. So I said, I better take a second look at this. Well, one thing led to another, and some of the people who made presentations in that class, and, you know, this was in 58, during Christmas break, they said, hey, let's get together and talk about flying saucers. So we went to this one, Steve Bogdan's house, on December 28th of 1958, and we had a semi-organized UFO meeting, and people brought the books that they had. I didn't have any books yet on the subject. I didn't even have Ruppelt's book. I didn't even belong to the Science Fiction Book Club at the time, where I think most of us got it eventually through there. But they brought some Kehoe books and this and that and True magazines and whatnot, and I kind of got hooked on it, and it's just, you know, been that way ever since.
How did you take this from someone reading on the subject for a very brief period of time in your life, the skeptic, becoming more or less a believer, to someone who had his own UFO group, wrote magazines, published books? How did this become so active for you?
You know, it's really strange. It's something that grows on you. As you know, Jerry mentioned, I think eventually we all got together from the Ray Palmer zine, you know, Chasing the Flying Saucers, Gray Barker, we read that, and then the Saucer Club News. And the little nucleus of a group that met in 1958 kind of hung on and went together, and we got together, and then there was a local Cleveland group that was formed in 1956, the Cleveland Ufology Project, which was headed by the local guy who had a certain amount of fame here in the region, Earl Neff. And we started attending those meetings and learned more about the subject. And why we started doing a newsletter, I don't know. But there were three or four of us. We got a little mimeograph machine and started making, newsletters. I eventually got a spare duplicator, like I think Tim did, you know, back in the early days, a purple, smelly paper printing that came out. And I don't know. I just wanted to learn more about the subject. I wanted to share what I was learning with other people, and it just kind of snowballed. And I mean, I've been doing a publication on UFOs or 14 things since 1962, and just this past issue, the Flying Saucer Digest, which I inherited from Al Manning, we just celebrated our 50th anniversary. We're, I think, probably the last ink on paper zine, saucer, traditional saucer zine that's being published today.
You know, people today don't understand the problems we face then. Because right now, everybody can get a cheap laser printer with almost offset quality for like $120, or used maybe $75. And you can print your own magazine. Of course, you got to pay for the toner, but then you get recycled toner. You know how that works. In those days, we had to use a mimeograph machine, which meant that you had to type this on a stencil, and the ink went through the stencil and hit the paper. And I guess they were cheap enough, but the difficulty was you had to type it accurately. It wasn't like having a computer right with a word processor, where you had to use one of these clumsy features that allow you to kind of erase it. But literally speaking, it was difficult and it was time consuming. I didn't even own one. So all these techniques we had to use to get magazines out were really, really clunky and difficult, but we were all dedicated to the process. But I think the person who really went furthest in just being a UFO publisher, forgetting anything else about writing books and magazine articles and going on radio shows, was nonetheless Tim Beckley. So what got you involved in UFOs, and why did you make it your life's work?
Well, you know, because I probably couldn't get a job elsewhere. Well, no, actually, I was born in 1947. I guess we were all born around the same time. And UFOs were very popular. I mean, they were in the news, you know. I mean, you turned on the TV and there would be, you know, Major Kehoe. You could buy a paperback book like Frank Scully's for a quarter or 35 cents. I remember the first magazine that I ever bought on the subject, and I still have a copy of it here, was something called The True Outer Space. It looked like Confidential magazine. It had a very garish red and yellow cover to it, and it was like where the Chinese from outer space, you know, but it was using some of the same UFO photographs that are still used today, believe it or not. And in 1957, when I was 10 years old, I had my first of three UFO sightings. Warm summer evening, we were outside. Somebody comes up to the front porch where we are, points out two objects in the sky, one across the street over an abandoned factory building, and one over the house, or pretty close to the house where I was born and raised. And these things kind of revolved in the air there, kind of circled up above for about, oh, I guess maybe 15 minutes or so. And then the one across the street looked like somebody had pulled a light switch because it just disappeared. A couple of days later, there was an item in the newspaper that other people had witnessed this, but the authorities were saying that it was a weather balloon. Well, this was no weather balloon. Even at the age of 10, I knew it was something that was under intelligent control. Then I bought a copy of Ray Palmer's magazine. And like we've all stated so far, this is how we all met up. We started exchanging our newsletters after we started publishing them, and we used to send around little, if you remember, reel-to-reel tapes. We'd take about 10 minutes to give our own thoughts and opinions and then send it on to the next person, and then about a month or so later, we'd get the tape back, and so we could sit there and listen to everybody's conversations and thinking on the subject, and we even had a few conference calls at great expense, back before you had unlimited, minutes and texting and things along that line. So somehow we all managed to hook up, and we went to UFO conventions together and partied a few nights, over the years. And overall, I mean, there's been some rough times, but I've enjoyed doing it. I can't say that I know more about UFOs now than I did then, but it's an intriguing subject, and I think I've come to realize that it encompasses a lot more than we thought when we were told by Major Kehoe that these were spaceships, you know, from some other planet.
We have Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley, Jerome Clark, Rick Hilberg. Guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy. Chris O'Brien wanted to be here really a lot to hear we old people talking about the subject. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when your identity is hacked, it's a nightmare. Hi everyone, Paul with Liberty ID. Did you know that children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Is your family prepared? Identity monitoring will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does. Here's an exciting offer for listeners to this station. Go to libertyid.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. That's right, $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's libertyid.com, promo code FREETRIAL. Prepare your family for less than half what other companies charge for only monitoring. LibertyID.com, promo code free trial. LibertyID.com, the name in identity theft restoration.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You see, Alan Greenfield is not a ghost yet, maybe in a couple of years, but he tries to sound like one. So this is the teen ufologist grow up, and it's something kind of unique. You know, teens still get interested in things, but this particular group and a lot of other people got hooked onto the flying saucer craze in the 50s, and by the 60s were writing articles and books maybe, and sometimes lecturing on the subject, and some of us trying to make it, to one extent or another, our full-time job, or get involved in other stuff. So, Alan Greenfield, we've had you on a number of times on the Paracast, too. So, very briefly, let's keep it brief now, tell us how you got hooked into this.
I'll do that, provided you let me come back to Ruppelt's second edition and what I know about it.
Let's talk about that first, about Ruppelt and then your history. What do you know about the second edition of the report on unidentified flying objects?
Well, keep in mind, I was 15 or so, but when I read the second edition, I was so angry by those three chapters, I literally ripped them out of the book. I wouldn't do that now. I don't believe in any kind of book burning. But his main argument in that section, or whoever actually wrote it, was you can't have craft that don't show up on radar. And this was, of course, long before stealth technology was available. So it was an empty argument. However, many years after that, I had an extensive conversation with Dewey Fournet, who had been, in the early days, the Pentagon monitor of the Air Force's UFO project, and he told me exactly, it was not a surprise, but it was, you know, coming from somebody who had been there rather than speculation or rumors or outside sources, that after the CIA panel in 1953, which concluded nothing about UFOs, really, just that the 1952 summer wave, the July 52 wave over D.C., had so jammed up all kinds of things, from radar to actual planes in the air to people making phone calls and so forth, that in the mentality of the 1950s, the Soviets could infiltrate private UFO organizations and cause them to create UFO flaps, which indeed they could. I experimented with that much later, and simply by announcing, look at the skies, you can get hundreds or thousands of phone calls. In any case...
Before you go on, Alan. So basically, it's almost like hysteria, where people look at any light in the sky and say, my God, that's a flying saucer. Or maybe they just happen to see something that is weird.
Well, that's a whole different subject. I think a lot of these are legitimate sightings. It's just that people are not constantly looking at the sky. Our old friend Reverend Stranges used to say, if you want to see a flying saucer, this was in his preaching thing, he said, look up. Well, most people don't, you know, most of the time. And so you don't see things, of course.
Today they're looking at their cell phones, man.
Yeah, that's right. I see people talking to themselves. And for a couple of years, I thought they were just, you know, your average schizophrenic talking. And then I realized they were on some kind of Bluetooth device. But, yeah, they're constantly looking at their cell phones, even when they're behind the wheel of a car, which has a pedestrian. But in any case... You have to put yourself in the McCarthy era where communists were everywhere. I'm a big fan of old-time radio and some of the shows from that period. These fantastical communist conspiracies from the little old ladies in the Communist Party USA were imagined to be, you know, blowing up power plants and all sorts of things. They wanted to shut down interest in UFOs. And I think that that simply reached a point where Ruppelt was put in the picture and said he probably got a visit, probably from not from the CIA directly. But if it was a commitment of that era to diminish interest in flying saucers, UFOs, whatever, in order to protect us from that mean old Soviet attack that was coming, then... he probably got told to write those chapters, or they were written for him, because the style is quite different. I take into account what Jerry said, that he might have written a more skeptical book in the first place, but, you know, people say things after the fact to justify whatever they did. So my general thought is he was told to write those three chapters, and they came out in that way. Fournet was unequivocal about that, that ufology, private ufology, was considered a threat to national security, not UFOs, and the government was acting accordingly. The government has never known anything about UFOs or really much cared after the very, very early days. That's not where it is, and their approach was strictly nuts and bolts, and you just don't get anywhere with that. So that's basically what I had to say on that subject. I believe that he switched sides because he had to.
Now, and that's what Major Kehoe said. Major Kehoe quoted in his books Ruppelt saying, I can't handle this much longer. He was under deep pressure. So that's why I come to that conclusion.
Okay, here's the deal. Kehoe has diminished in my respect to the pulp writer that he was over the years, because he said that Ruppelt probably died because he felt bad about having to write those chapters. But as Jerry pointed out, people died. I don't know if he smoked. I don't know what the particulars of his situation were, but I don't find his death that mysterious, and I don't think it had anything to do with his UFO book. I think he just, you know, unfortunately died young. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they live to be 90, whatever it was that Leonard Cohen was. I mean, it's, you know, some of it's DNA and some of it's lifestyle, and who knows what that was. And the Kehoe had no right to really infer that. But the notion that that he was pressured to write the chapters or given the chapters to put in the book, that is consistent with what the CIA panel recommended. It's consistent with what happened to the IFSB. It's consistent with the formation of NICAP, which was originally civilian, and then all of a sudden you had all of these military types taking over the organization and chasing nuts and bolts all over the place. I think that it is consistent with the notions that were around during the McCarthy era, which really only ended in during the Johnson administration. Even then, you know, the myth that we were dealing with a vast unified communist conspiracy that was going to overthrow the world was simply not true. And pretty much revisionist historians have said that. It doesn't make communism a good system. It does, however, explain a lot of what the country did back in the day.
We'll get into more of this, and I want Jerry Clark's response to the matter of Kehoe and Ruppelt in a moment. I want to remind you also that we have a second radio show called After the Paracast with extra stuff. It's unpredictable. And even more important, on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, we will be featuring some of the guests from this episode to extend their discussion about UFOs and other subjects. You won't want to miss it. It's available only if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We have Tim Beckley, Alan Greenfield, Jerome Clark, and Rick Hilberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook. If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity at below market price at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by August 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is August 31st.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue. The teen ufologists grow up and become something, someone else. No, it sounds like the opening theme for the TV show Arrow. Anyway, Jerry Clark, you heard what Alan had to say about Ruppelt, about Kehoe and NICAP. Some responses?
Well, the McCarthy era actually ended in 1954 with the Army-McCarthy hearings, and the country kind of shook its way out of there, and things changed a lot. The Communist Party USA was viewed with justifiable suspicion since, at least for the early part of its history, starting in the 20s and during World War II, and just after World War II, some of the espionage was against the United States was being funneled through the CPUSA. So the McCarthy era, which was a terrible time, we can all agree, and full of hysteria and so on, but wasn't entirely imaginary. There was actual Soviet espionage going on. Some of it was going through. There was a visible CPUSA, and there was an invisible CPUSA, where there were direct dealings with Soviet intelligence officers and so on. And there's really a vast literature on this stuff, which is a subject that's always interested me for some reason. Now, there isn't really any very good evidence that I am aware of, and I certainly looked for it when I was researching my UFO encyclopedia, that the CIA's idea that UFO groups should be infiltrated and brought to heel ever was really fulfilled. It was a recommendation that the Robertson panel made in late 1953, but if there was any action on it, it was sporadic and uncoordinated. And I think that if we take this too seriously, too literally, we may get a more sinister and conspiratorial idea of what was actually going on. As far as NICAP is concerned, when I was researching the encyclopedia, I had access to NICAP files, which were housed at the Kufos files in Chicago. I went through them extensively, and I have a fairly full account in my encyclopedia of how NICAP came to disintegrate. The first problem was that Kehoe was a terrible administrator. He had no administrative skills. He didn't know how to run a budget. when there was the UFO wave, there was a lot of interest in UFOs. NICAP's membership would shoot up into the tens of thousands. And then when interest had receded, people wouldn't renew their subscriptions or their memberships. All of a sudden, the budget was down to practically nothing. So it was really, it was just hard to work for NICAP. Dick Hall worked there. Dick was a friend of mine. And there were times that, you know, they didn't know if their paychecks were going to clear, and they weren't exactly making a fortune working there. What happened was that eventually the Board of Governors realized, particularly J.B. Hartranft, who was a prominent member of the board and also a head of the Private Pilots Association, was reading the Constitution and realized all of a sudden that if NICAP collapsed, the Board of Governors was responsible personally for paying off the organization's debts. And when Hartranft saw this, he just freaked out. And he didn't want to get stuck with a whole lot of money because the organization was going deeper and deeper into debt. So he organized the other board members and told them what was going on and demanded that Kehoe be fired because he said, with some justification, that Kehoe was just incompetent. He just simply could not run an organization, and things were not going to get better under his administration. So Kehoe was forced out of office, and they hired another guy. I think his name was Alan Hall, if I'm not mistaken, and no relation to Dick Hall. And NICAP limped on for a few more years, but it was just kind of a story, not of conspiracy, but just of organizational problems and incompetence at the highest level.
So all these rumors and all these claims, Jerry, that maybe NICAP was a military front because Kehoe had it so heavily laden with former military, you don't think that amounted to anything?
Remember that Kehoe was a career military guy who had also worked in the Pentagon. So most of his friends were generals and admirals, and they were also right-wingers. And so they were not only military guys, they were politically in sympathy with him. And Kehoe saw these guys as really the smart guys and the authorities. And he was most comfortable in the presence of generals and admirals. So I don't think there was anything particularly sinister about this. These were just the guys that Kehoe knew.
Now, with Ruppelt, do you think Kehoe exaggerated his friendship with Ruppelt and the impact of having to deal with the revision to his book?
I think that Kehoe genuinely believed that he was closer to Ruppelt than Ruppelt believed he was close to Kehoe. And Ruppelt, in his book, takes a lot of shots at Kehoe. You know, even in the first edition, he thinks that Kehoe exaggerated and imagined cover-ups where they weren't going on. And Ruppelt did not believe there was a conspiracy to conceal UFO reports, and I think he was certainly right about that. And, of course, Kehoe was entirely focused more than on UFOs as such, more on the cover-up of UFOs. And if you read Kehoe's books, he's really more interested in bashing the Air Force than really thinking deeply and seriously about what UFO reports might represent. He considers it a kind of given that they're probably interplanetary spaceships. By interplanetary, I think he basically thought they were from Mars, because in the 1950s it was still possible to believe that Mars might be inhabited. But he didn't really think very much about this in any serious way. He was focused on the cover-up and the bureaucracy of the cover-up. As Alan says quite well, that Kehoe was a pulp writer, and you go back to his books and you're reading the UFO mystery filtered through the sensibility of a pulp fiction writer.
They read like pulp fiction novels, I agree with you. And then in terms of some of the cases he got, what I learned from our old friend Jim Moseley so many years ago, when he was actually going to be a co-author of a UFO book in the 50s, is that Kehoe would get these cases from Project Blue Book on the phone. He'd write them down. But Jim went over there and physically took a typewriter and copied them down. Except that when Kehoe learned of that, he had a freak out. How could you let that guy look at those cases? How dare you? So, you know, I always wonder here about Kehoe's access, but also if he's taking that stuff verbally, I could see where the notes can get a little bit, shall we say, distorted.
Well, that's
what Kehoe likes to sensationalize.
Before we trash Kehoe too much, I mean, I think NICAP was a kind of irrelevancy for a lot of reasons, but I must take exception to some of, no surprise here, to some of the things that Jerry is saying. I, how shall I put it, have a background in radical politics that goes back almost as long as my interest in UFOs. And I can tell you that while, of course, there were spies, there were American spies in the Soviet Union, and rightly so, and there were Soviet spies here, perhaps rightly so as well. Do I sound like Trump? Oh, God, help me. They had no connection to the CPUSA, but by the mid-1950s, the Communist Party USA, as someone pointed out in National Review of all places, their obituary column was the largest part of their newspaper. They were just little old ladies from the mid-50s on. While they had been a serious organization back in the 1930s, after the doctor's plot, they lost most of their Jewish membership because it became obvious that Stalin was anti-Semitic. There were a whole host of reasons that people left, including, I will also take exception to the notion that McCarthyism, in the broader sense of the term, ended with the Army McCarthy hearings. Of course, that ended McCarthy's career because you don't go after the military and get away with it. But the paranoid anti-communism that, broadly speaking, is characteristic of McCarthyism, one of the key players in that was Richard Nixon. And not only did he run for president, not only was he vice president until 1960, but he became president of the United States during the Vietnam War.
We've got more to come. The teen ufologists definitely grow up. We have Rick Hilberg, Helen Greenfield, Jerome Clark, Tim Beckley. Guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy, who's just sitting back, a fly on the wall, listening. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.